Welcome to 15 Minutes in the Word with New York Times bestselling author Joyce Meyer. On today's program, Joyce will be teaching from her series, Keys to Loving Your Journey. In John 10:10, Jesus tells us that he came and died for us so that we can have and enjoy our life to the fullest until it overflows. So life is a journey, and we only get one chance to live it. Why then should we choose to make it through, just endure, or worse, hate the life we're living? Today, Joyce will share how through following the Holy Spirit, we can learn to love every step of the journey with him. Now, here's Joyce with today's teaching.
1 Corinthians 12:31, but earnestly desire and zealously cultivate the greatest and the best gifts and graces, the higher gifts and the choicest graces, and yet I will show you still a more excellent way, one that is better by far and the highest of them all, and that is love. Love. We're not talking about the world's kind of love. We're talking about agape, the God kind of love. And you know the kind of love that God has? We can see it in Matthew 5:44. Let's go there. How many of you think you need this? And you've already thought of all the people you wish were here that aren't. Man, I wish my husband would have come with me tonight. Boy, does he need this message. Come on. How many of you have already thought of somebody that you wish was here tonight? See? Well, you know what? I wish they were too, but the thing is you're here, and I'm here, so we must need it. Matthew 5:44-47. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you to show that you are the children of your Father who is in heaven. Why does God ask us to do that? To show people that we're not normal like all other people, but we've got something working in us that enables us to do things that are way beyond the ordinary. For he makes his sun to rise on the wicked and on the good, and he makes the rain to fall on the upright and the wrongdoers alike. And I love this. For if you love those who love you, what reward can you have? Do not even the tax collectors do that? And if you greet only your brothers, then what more than others are you doing? Do not even the Gentiles, the heathen, do that? So here's my question tonight. Are we willing to even ask God to teach us how to love the way he loves? Because if we love the way God loves, that means that we're going to love when there's nothing in it for us. Hi, everybody. We're going to love when there's nothing in it for us, when it's just an all giving out. And I can tell you from experience, I know that it will win people to Christ, and it will win some of the hardest people to Christ that you can imagine. I'm sure if you watch my TV program much, you've heard my story about my dad sexually abused me for many, 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 many years. My mother knew what was happening. She just was a very fearful woman who didn't know how to deal with him, and so she just let it happen. And so I was abused and abandoned. Later on, many years later, after I thought that I had totally forgiven, God put it in my heart that as they were getting older, that I needed to buy them a better house to live in and take really good care of them until they died. Well, that was the last thing in the world I wanted to do, because the first thing that I said to God is, well, what'd they ever do for me? He said, well, you're breathing, aren't you? So the point is God wants us to be good to people who haven't done anything for us. Because that is the best way in the world that you can do spiritual warfare and keep the devil under your feet. Love is the highest form of spiritual warfare. If we think that we're doing something smart to stay mad at somebody and try to get revenge on them, it's the absolute worst thing that we can do for our own selves. It poisons our lives when we do that. And it's all based on feelings. Well, I feel. Well, I can tell you, I didn't feel like buying my mom and dad a house. And I started out trying to buy a cheap house, and God said, no, you're going to buy a nice house. And it's not like we just had a bunch of money laying around to go buy people houses. It was going to take everything that we had. And so I thought, well, surely Dave would tell me no, that was going to be my out. And he looked at me and said, well, if you think it's God, you better obey. And I was like, I don't want to obey. Fast forward the story to the end. Took 3 years of taking them to the doctors, making sure the bills all got paid, making sure the grass got cut, making sure somebody got their groceries, taking them to the doctor, on and on and on. And finally, one morning, my mother said, your dad's been crying all week. He wants you to come over, wants to tell you something. All these years, my father had never apologized to me, never even admitted what he did. And on that day, with tears, he said, I'm so sorry for what I did to you when you were a kid. He asked if we would pray with him. He received Christ. We baptized him 10 days later. And I always say this, I thought I was buying a house, but actually I was buying a soul. And I don't mean that in a wrong way. We know that Christ paid for our salvation. But you know, sometimes, well, let's put it like this. One of the main reasons why people don't walk in love is because love is an effort. And it will always, now get this, it will always cost you something. If it's real love, it's always gonna cost something. It's gonna cost some time, some effort, even to not start a fight in your home. It's gonna cost you some pride. You're gonna have to be willing to swallow your pride and let somebody else think they're right when you're pretty sure you're right, but you don't think it's worth starting a fight over because you know that God has said to keep the peace. Come on now. Oh, this is gonna get better as the sessions go by. And it's not that you become a doormat. Love doesn't mean that you just let everybody walk all over you and you let everybody push you around. But here's what it does mean. You confront when God shows you to confront. And you wait on him when he tells you to wait on him. And I've found that when I do it like that, most of the time when God tells me to confront, I just soon leave it alone. And most of the time when I want to confront, he's telling me to leave it alone. When somebody has hurt us, one of the hardest things in the world is to wait and let God bring our vindication. We want to take up for ourselves, don't we? Has anybody gotten anything out of this yet? Now see, if you're waiting for the other person to do what's right, I have an announcement to make tonight. You're the one hearing this message, so guess what? You get to start first. And not only that, if you're the Christian in your house, then you ought to be the one to start first. You can't expect people that don't know the word to do anything right. They don't even know what right is. So we have to do it as an example. I tell you, my husband was a wonderful example to me in the early years of our marriage, and you hear me tell all the funny stories about Dave, and I've got more funny ones this weekend. Dave has done some new stuff that you will not believe. I mean, that is hot off the press this weekend. We got a new Dave story. Amen. But see, the thing is when Dave and I got married, he was a strong Christian. Now, I believed in God. I had been born again when I was a child, but I didn't know anything. And you know, no matter how born again you are, if you don't know anything, then you're not going to act like you should be acting. That's why we need to study the Word. Dave Hauser was a very mature, strong man of God, and he was the perfect man for me because I needed somebody not to tell me about Christ, not to tell me, yes, I like the words, I love you, but I didn't even know what it was. I needed somebody to show me what it was. And he was the same no matter how I acted. I want you to get this. No matter how I acted, he stayed the same. If you want to make an impression to the unbelievers in your home, at your place of business, no matter how they act, you stay the same. That's what Jesus did. He didn't change with the circumstances and act up with the people who were acting up. He remained the same. Oh, Jesus, I just want to be like you. I surrender all. See, that's what I mean about phony baloney religion. And don't misunderstand me. I've participated in it plenty in my life, too. It's just like we learn these outward behaviors And these little Christianese words, I love you with the love of the Lord. What in the world is that? Like I said, where are you when I need you? Where are you when somebody needs to speak up for my reputation? Where are you when I need somebody to just sit with me for an hour because I feel like my guts are falling out and I'd really rather that you don't preach to me. I'd like you just to be there with me. I call this book The Love Revolution, which probably was a mistake because I don't think people got it, but I put the word revolution on it because a revolution is a sudden radical change in the way things are ordinarily done. And if we don't need a sudden radical complete change in what's going on in the world today, I don't know who does. And the only thing that I think is going to really change all the hatred, the bitterness, the resentment, the wickedness, the sin, the wretchedness, the selfishness, the self-centeredness is full-on love. And it's going to take a whole lot of Christians that are willing to light their lamps and get out in the world and act like Jesus. It's not going to come through preaching to people while we do nothing. You know the little game that kids play at school, show and tell? You know, where they take an item and then they show it and then they tell everybody about it. Well, what we have many times as believers is tell and no show. And we need show and tell. Once we show people the love of Christ, it's not going to be hard then to tell them about the Jesus that we love. Amen? Whew, I love to preach this message, so you're just going to have to put up with me all weekend. In Matthew 22:36... they asked Jesus, what is the heaviest, most important law? What's the heaviest one? What's the greatest commandment? The heaviest commandment. Which kind of commandment is great and important? Which one is the principal kind? Some commandments are light. Which ones are heavy? I love that. Yes, bring us a heavy word, sister. And he replied to them, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind and your intellect. Another verse says, with all your strength. This is the greatest and the most important commandment. And a second is like unto it. You shall love your neighbor as you love yourself. Now, let me just throw this in. I don't plan to spend a lot of time on this weekend because I've done full entire seminars on this, but I do want to say that it's pretty much useless for me to tell you to go out and love anybody else if you're not going to love yourself first. Simply because you can't give away what you don't have, and neither can I.
Thanks for listening. It's exciting that Jesus has given us a full life. In reality, though, we may struggle to actually enjoy it. We may spend more time upset with the obstacles or focused on the negatives. Instead of wasting effort with these distractions, let's allow the Holy Spirit's leading to show us how we can adjust our perspectives and have Jesus be the center of everything we do. It is time to love the journey. So remember, God loves us and has a better plan for us than anything we could ever imagine. For more resources from Joyce, visit joycemeyer.org.
Did you know that you can be completely honest with God? David in the Bible certainly was. He poured out his questions and pain and discovered how deeply God loved him through it all. You can too. That's why I'm so excited about this devotional, Daily Devotions from Psalms. As you take time to know God in a deeper way, you will find comfort and peace every single day.
Daily Devotions from Psalms, new from Joyce Meyer. Order your copy today at joycemeyer.org.
Thank you for listening to 15 Minutes in the Word with Joyce.